mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Graham Biss, and I am a licensed lay minister in training here at St. Mary's. That means basically someone who's learning to lead services and preach sermons. But I'm also on the leadership team of the new Christchurch plant in North Ely with Stephen and the gang. And as you can imagine, we're having a lot of fun and we're very excited about it. So we are mainly going to be looking at the passage that we heard from Matthew on page 930 of the Pew Bibles, and also picking up a verse from Psalm 49, which was on page 548, if you want to follow along. So in the passage from Matthew at the beginning, at verse 21, Jesus for the first time talks about his suffering and his death and resurrection that will happen shortly in Jerusalem. They call this the first passion prediction, and it is followed by two more later in Matthew in chapter 17 and 20. And it's the start of a new phase in Jesus' ministry where there is less focus on public ministry and more focus on teaching the disciples and preparing them for his death. But Peter struggles with this, and at verse 22 we read, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This must never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Peter becomes a stumbling block as he confronts Jesus' death and struggles to understand the logic of God's will. Peter is hugely attracted to this hero leader, Jesus. Jesus, who's been working miracles and healings in the crowds and teaching with great authority. Surely this Messiah figure must not suffer and die. And for us this morning, like Peter, it is difficult to fathom after all Jesus has done in Matthew's gospel up to this point, as we stand here, and how we need to react to the surprising fate that Jesus now predicts that's going to happen to him. We're all here for different reasons maybe this morning. Some of us are regulars at the church. Some of us are maybe visiting for the baptism, and we've got the parents of Zoe and Sophia on the, maybe they've gone now, but they're here. We've got people who are maybe exploring what church is like. Maybe those who are here who want to give thanks to God for something in their lives, or those who are really struggling with something. There are those people here with some faith, those with very little. When our youngest daughter Hannah was born, before we were Christians, we wanted to have our daughter baptized. But that meant that the vicar came to visit. And a lovely man, some of us will know, called the Reverend Fred Kilner, came round and made easy conversation with us over a cup of tea. Then all of a sudden, he looked Yvonne and I in the eye and said, Tell me about your faith. I just got back from work from a hard day, and Yvonne and I had worked to get the kids to bed. And I was struggling with this hard question, and I felt like saying to Fred, More tea, Vicar? And maybe that is how you feel today as we get asked to react to Jesus' prediction. Fred Kilner's question was probing, and I pondered it for a number of days at the time, and I hope you will give it some consideration today. So back to the passage. Having rebuked Peter, Jesus now explains how we need to react. And he makes three points on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Firstly, in verse 24, he says, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny ourselves and take up their cross and follow me. Why would we want to follow Jesus? And this is a question that would need a whole sermon series of its own, but I would like to suggest that he is intriguing, attractive, mysterious, even from the few short verses that we've heard today. Maybe there is something strangely missing in our lives as we sit here this morning. Maybe we're struggling with our purpose in life or where we're going. Maybe this Jesus has some answers. But Jesus says following him requires to deny ourselves and to follow the will of God rather than our own will. He is looking for exclusive, complete, unflinching obedience to him, a radical new commitment in our lives. We need to offer all parts of our lives to him. And this is hard teaching. The second point that Jesus makes is in two paradoxes where Jesus talks of the cost but ultimate reward of a life following him. In verse 25, he says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And then in verse 26, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" If we are honest, we all follow our own path in life, seeking material things, seeking status and popularity. We need to gain respect, security, power, and happiness. We can put all our trust in our wealth and the things we want to gain. But in Psalm 49, which we heard before the gospel passage, it talks of the folly of this approach. "As poor and rich alike perish together and leave their wealth behind. Death is a great leveler." So Jesus claims we won't find life through what we gain. The third point concerns the value of our life. And in the second part of verse 26, Jesus says, "Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" And this echoes verse 7 in Psalm 49, which says, "Truly no ransom avails for one's life. There is no price one can give God for it." Our life and our soul is of infinite value to God. Jesus himself tells us this earlier in Matthew, in chapter 6, verse 26, where he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of much more value than they?" So we can never buy our life with any wealth or hold God to ransom. But how does it feel to read that we are of such value, each one of us, whatever we have done? How does it feel to know that the Creator God wants us to follow him into service? If we have any doubts about the value of serving God, we should just look at the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, where it says, "Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain." So we have a purpose and are in God's plan. Doesn't it want to make you choose this path for your life? So back to what happened after the visit of Fred Kilder 20 years ago. I was a very ordinary engineer and project manager struggling with my job in Cambridge and my confidence. So after the visit from Fred, I took my young family here to St. Mary's to get Hannah baptized, just as Zoe and Sophia had been baptized this morning. It had been a difficult time in our family around then. Yvonne's dad had died suddenly, and there were two special grandmothers that passed away soon afterwards. And we were so thankful for our daughters at that time, and it seemed right to be in church to say thank you to a God my parents knew. Something strangely attractive kept bringing us back to church on Sundays when we could manage it. And one Sunday, a few months later, I saw a notice for a basic Christianity course called Alpha, the one that Chris mentioned is running in Costa's next year. And I thought at the time it would be good to learn the rules. It would be good to know when to stand up and when to sit down. They told us that we should follow Derek, the church warden. Joking. They didn't cover any of that kind of stuff on the Alpha course. But I also thought it would be handy if the vicar asked me another hard question. So I did the course. And thinking back, I know that lots of people were praying for me because something was happening as I told Yvonne about the Jesus I had met. He had asked me to follow him. What would Yvonne think? What would my friends say? Would I be good enough after all the mistakes of the past? Do I go and carry on my own way? Or do I follow him to the cross? I chose to follow him. And 20 years later, here I am reflecting on the teaching of Jesus, and I ask myself these questions. Have I been a model disciple? Have I given my all to him? Not really, but he's changed me. Have I found contentment in who I am in Christ and the things that I have? Yes. Have I found freedom from the sin and the guilt and the hurt of the past? Definitely. Have I had a desire to serve him using the gifts he gave me with love and humility? Oh, yes. Have I listened to him regularly to discover his will through prayer and Bible study? Well, sometimes. But when I have, it's been really good. So I found a number of cheesy quotes while reading the commentaries on this passage to try and capture the truth of a life following Jesus. And I found two that resonate with me that you might find helpful this morning. Here's the first. True happiness only comes if you put God first. The second is self-sacrifice is the way to finding your true self. Now, this is all very well, you may say, but how can we possibly give total, exclusive, complete, unflinching obedience to him as a sinful, flawed human being in our complex and busy lives? And the answer is through a helper that Jesus sends. He mentions this helper in John chapter 14, verse 16, called the Holy Spirit, that comes to live with us when we accept Jesus as the way in our life. Through the Holy Spirit, he helps us to know Jesus, to love him, and to enjoy him, and to find such joy as we serve him and follow his path. Finally, in verse 27 from Matthew's Gospel, it talks of the reward of discipleship, where Jesus will return and repay people for what they have done. Remember the stumbling block, Peter? Well, later in his life, full of the Holy Spirit, in a letter he wrote at the back of the Bible called 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, he gives his view on his life with Jesus. And this is no cheesy quote, but the living God talking to us all this morning through a disciple that followed Jesus to the cross and witnessed our Saviour firsthand. This is what he wrote. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So to sum up, following Jesus is a massive decision in our lives with huge significance, and we sung about it in the first few praise songs this morning. We would need to start putting Jesus first and spending time with him and letting him prompt and change us over the course of our whole lives. We would need to put our trust in him rather than the things of this earth that we want to gain. And we would need to accept how precious we are and that God has a purpose for us all. So be excited about serving him. So I want to invite you to ponder this now and in the coming days. Maybe to commit for the first time or to recommit our lives afresh to Jesus. And I just want to invite you to open your hands as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son Jesus. How beautiful and special he is for dying for us and inviting us into a new life. Help us to respond, particularly those hearing the invitation for the first time. Send your Holy Spirit to give us a yearning for you and the special life that you want for each one of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. We wanted to give a little bit of space now to respond.